Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. March 1st, 2024, To See Another Day. New EP by a new band on the label Destiny coming out of Singapore. So if you're not familiar, please go follow them on social media. Get tapped in. March is right around the corner. Live in Japan, 2024. May 16th through the 19th, Morning and Temple Guard will be touring through Japan. They'll be hitting Nagoya, Osaka, and two nights in Tokyo. So if you're in the area, please support the UKHC in Japan. If you're not following From Within Records on social media, please go boot up X, go boot up Instagram, click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band or for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing. And if you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. You can thank me later. On today's episode, we had to track down our good friend, Jonathan Gonzalez. You might know him from Sunday Drive Records, which is an amazing record label. So many awesome bands. Go listen to The Arrival Note, Cairo, and a whole list of other great bands. But also, Jonathan drums for a newer band out of Texas called It's the Limit, which put out an awesome demo back in January. If you're not familiar, please hit pause, go boot up Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, whatever, and go listen to It's the Demo by It's the Limit. It's awesome. Shout out Fortress Records. I am so high on that record label. They have had so many good releases. It's awesome to see a newer label be able to thrive in this modern age of hardcore, right? Some people might get discouraged and might not think there's room for a new label because there's so many awesome ones already, but I feel like Fortress is doing an amazing job in being able to, you know, carve their own path here in 2024. So shout out Fortress Records, but go listen to It's the Limit. And you can come back here. You can listen to Jonathan and I chop it up. It was great to have him back on the podcast. I'm a fan of Sunday Drive. I'm a fan of It's the Limit. And just to be able to hear all the awesome things that have been going on since the last time we talked was very fun for me. So I hope all of you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. So please strap in, enjoy this conversation. Without further ado, welcome Jonathan Gonzalez to the show. Recording. Oh, I think you're on mute. Oh,
hey.
Oh, you're back. Okay. All right. And we're recording. Welcome back to the podcast, Jonathan. How's it going?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for having me, Jamie.
Yo, to be here. Thanks for being down to come back on. I really appreciate it. So,
yeah, of course.
Earlier this year, new demo dropped on Fortress Records, which I am such a fan of that label because I love that band Collateral. And
yeah,
ever since then, I've just been kind of following what they've been doing, and it seems like they just haven't missed. So when It's the Limit came out, and obviously this wasn't even something that I was like anticipating, so when it dropped, I saw a bunch of people posting it, I like checked it out, and then I saw that you were in it. I was like, oh cool, let me reach out to see if we can get a podcast going, because this demo is awesome. So I'm just really curious about the band. Can you talk about how this whole thing started?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, thanks for listening and for checking it out and stuff. I really appreciate it. Basically, It's the Limit started. I would say we started practicing maybe last summer. We actually jammed a little bit, maybe even previously. to that, like maybe in the winter or springtime. But it's kind of been like reworked, you know, here and there throughout that period, where we had like scratch tracks that we had liked, and then we kind of just kind of started all again in like December or like even late November. And during that like period is when we actually like knocked the whole demo out. So it's probably like within a couple of weeks where we actually like wrote everything. But yeah, the band is myself. I play drums, and then this band called Sheer Force. They're on From Within. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's basically Sheer Force minus like a member and swapping me out on drums. So yeah, the other guys are Ezra, Steven, and Isaiah. Ezra and Isaiah run Corruption Records in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And then I obviously do Sunday Drive. So we kind of met at a show like when I moved back to San Antonio, and it's kind of been, you know, very friendly with them at shows, and then we started hanging out more, and just a friendship sort of formed, and it's natural progression of like, you know, hanging out with someone at a show, figuring out they play an instrument, and then, you know, actually jamming with them and vibing. And yeah, we just wanted to do something different. If you listen to like Sheer Force, for example, Steven's on vocals and on both projects, but it obviously sounds a lot different. Sheer Force is more like Hatebreed style, like more of a heavy, you know, 90s hardcore. Whereas It's the Limit, we're just going for like early 2000s straight edge, like No Tolerance. I'm not exactly sure everything they pulled from. I was more so inspired by like Mental and like Locking Out stuff, with a mix of like, you know, No Tolerance in there. But I think we all kind of align on like, yeah, let's just shoot for No Tolerance straight edge, just like fast hardcore, like 20 to 40 second songs, and yeah, just do a demo.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder, because like the early 2000s, that those were like my like early days in hardcore, and I felt like I was like playing catch up, because like I like started in like you know, I got into like Terror, and I was into like all like the Inland Empire, like, you know, more like heavier stuff, and it was like such a weird transition where I feel like with my group of friends, there was a split where everybody just loved the heavy stuff and didn't want to listen to like the faster, like more punk stuff. But I had a love for both, and I always found it strange that my other friends didn't like the faster stuff. So I was younger, and I missed out on a lot of shows because I couldn't drive. So I always had this like special place in my heart for that kind of stuff. Just I feel like even though like I started with like the like heavier stuff, like that was like the things I was going to like, you know, more often in my early days, but I always felt like I was leaning more towards the faster stuff. So when I hear a band like It's the Limit, it just like reminds me of like, you know, that early 2000s sound, and I feel like you guys did a really great job with the demo.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what we're going for. Just like straightforward hardcore. The term regular hardcore has been thrown around recently, and it kind of speaks for itself. And that's the style of style of hardcore that I am drawn to. It's funny because you mentioned like getting into like heavier stuff first. At the time that I got into hardcore, I was like maybe 2010. So it was kind of like the exit of like Half Heart and Burst and like the Feeder and all of that, and then TUI started coming up, and I like TUI and Half Heart, but I obviously, being straight edge, like I was drawn more to like towards Half Heart, and then I didn't. I've chatted about this kind of recently, but at the time I was like 13, 14, so I didn't like know. I didn't have like an older like sibling or like a, you know, a relative to like tell me like, oh, you should check out like Minor Threat or like Agnostic Front and stuff like that. So I was like very much into like contemporary stuff that was happening. I started going to shows, and I was at my first hardcore show, and it was like a local gig. It was only like local bands that were playing. And in San Antonio, and like, this is probably like 2010 or 2011. It was like a New Year's show. So I always get mixed up on what year it is. But this band, Afflictive Nature, played, and they are like, they're like, if you're from San Antonio, like that's the band like that people kind of go to. And yeah, their set was like wild, and it like got me into hardcore immediately. But at that time, they're super like fast, like hardcore, like just kind of locking out style. They had like just fun, like mosh parts. People would like throw trash cans, and like, I don't know, there'd be like stuff flying all around like this small room. And that made like a huge impression on me. And then, like a whole melodic hardcore style too. But yeah, all that to say is like, I love like just like regular, like fast hardcore. And I've been always wanting to do a band like this, and I'm glad I have the friends to do it.
And I'm just curious, It's the Limit, is that a American Nightmare reference?
Yeah, so, or it's a Cro-Mag song that American Nightmare covered. The name and the name and the demo name was kind of like already decided on like before I even joined, like the other three like wanted to like write faster stuff, and they're like, this band's called It's the Limit and the demo's gonna be called It's the Demo, and I was like, okay, cool. But yeah, it's a Cro-Mag and an A, and yeah.
And I do appreciate the name of the demo, because it's just a clever, way to, just reuse the name. Yeah. And it's cool, because most times it's demo 24, demo whatever, or just an actual name. But I really dig the name of your guys' demo.
Yeah. It's fun. I don't know. With the artwork and the titles and stuff, it's like you can tell that it's not super serious or anything. It's just kind of just having fun, and with the lyrics and stuff, it's very straight edge too. So it's a straight edge like fast hardcore band, super like simple stuff, but yeah
simple, but I feel like if you like dig into like the lyrical content, it's stuff that I'm into. It seems like the singer has like a chip on his shoulder, and I love that. Straight edge music. Obviously, I'm straight edge, so whenever I discover a new good straight edge band, I always get a little more excited than usual when it comes to finding just normal good hardcore bands, if that makes sense.
No, same here. I've been straight edge like ever since, like even before I got into hardcore, because I was into like wrestling. So saw CM Punk with his X'd up hands, I was like, what is that? I was like, okay, I'm straight edge too. And then obviously with Half Heart and stuff, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, it's a thing I want to be a part of.
What's up with CM Punk getting injured, and it seems like he's having a bad luck?
Yeah, I haven't caught up on everything, but I know there's like a bunch of drama with him and like AEW and WWE and stuff. I know a lot of people don't like him anymore. But 2005, 2006, that was like the coolest like thing to see. I was like a 9 or 10 year old.
Yeah, he's like one of the few that has been able to go mainstream with straight edge.
Yeah, it's funny. The lyrics, like you were saying, I also like the chip on the shoulder. There's a little bit more to it in the lyrics. It's not like super simplified, just like, but at the same time it kind of is, so it's kind of like on the line of the two, and I appreciate that. I think Steven did a great job. We recorded the demo in like 2 hours, or like even less than that, just at a studio space, so I didn't even know like what the lyrics were going to be or like what the titles were. We just like didn't have time to like review everything, so Steven just knocked everything out in like one take pretty much. And that's kind of what you're hearing. So yeah, it was cool to hear it all together.
I was curious because in the credits it said recorded at Sunday Drive Studios. So that's not like an actual thing.
No, it was kind of a joke within Isaiah, who runs Corruption, was like, I'm gonna put Sunday Drive Studios. I was like, okay, that was funny. But now I mixed it and mastered it. It was supposed to be like just getting something out there as soon as possible, so without like much attention to like anything. We went into we're very much drawn to like democore, so really didn't put like a ton of attention to it. We're just like, this is hardcore, like you hear it, it's supposed to be angry and just fast, so don't really need to like overproduce it or like, you know, do a bunch of stuff on the drums, but or like guitars and things. But I have like a little Focusrite and this mic and like another condenser mic, and we just use those two and kind of tracked everything like super fast, and just a practice space, which is Sunday Drive Studios.
And was there a reason for that? Were you guys on like a time crunch, or you guys just wanted to do it on this random day? Like why does it seem like you mentioned you guys were kind of rushed?
Yeah. So we don't have like a practice spot, like, so I know some places or some bands like pay like a monthly rental to like hold all their gear in. We don't really have that in San Antonio, at least not that we found. So what we have to do is like, there's a rehearsal space that has like a studio in it, and we rent that out whenever it's available or whenever we want to practice. So, you know, it's like an hourly rate. So we booked like 2 hours for it. We're like, our songs are like 20 or 30 seconds, so shouldn't take that long. It was more so of like, we actually had a show booked on January 12th and 13th. So I think we recorded on the 5th or so. And we were like, yeah, let's just get something out. Like that way we have some like, something, you know, that kids can like know the words to at least at the show and like mosh. So that was just the goal, you know. So yeah, that's the reason why we recorded so quickly, and that's the reason why I just like self mixed it and like, again in quotes, like mixed and mastered it, just to like try to make it sound as best as I can with the stuff that we already have without having to go to somewhere else. So it was like completely a DIY project.
Yeah, well, I think you guys did a good job, because in that style of hardcore, I feel like the, you know, quality of the demo is fine. Like when I listened to it, I wouldn't have guessed that you just had, you know, two mics and a like a solo ride or whatever. Or Focusrite, excuse me. But that's awesome that you're able to do that. And I do enjoy that the demo so short, because it's just like, you know, it's just straight to the point, right? Not a whole lot of filler. You guys just get right to it, and all the good parts are there. I think it's a fun listen.
I appreciate it. I mean, it's like a big gripe with me as a listener with like hardcore. I would say specifically, I was like, man, the song's like a little bit too long. And I was like, it can be shorter. And that's, I think we all kind of share that in the band. And obviously you see, look at the track lengths, and that's what we shot for. I just like, you know, strip out everything that's not necessary, have like a fast part, have some sort of mosh part, and have a sing along. And that's kind of all you need, you know, have people be able to mosh or stage dive.
Yeah. And I feel like when you get straight to the point like that, and you make it very, friendly experience for the crowd, right? Crowd participation. I feel like that's like an added element to make the set more fun and better live. Because when songs are a little too long, or there's not, you know, like lyrics for people to sing along to, or not a whole lot of dance parts, sometimes things can just get kind of like drawn out, and people are standing around.
Yeah, people are just standing around waiting for the mosh part, like the slower part, so people can, you know, whatever, breakdown and stuff. But yeah, yeah, we just wanted to write just fast hardcore. Yeah, I'm glad we did so.
And what's the relationship like with Fortress Records? How did you guys get in contact with them and decide or to put it out with them?
Yeah, so it happened so like naturally. We had the demo ready to go on a Thursday night. And we're like, okay, we got art from Dewey like a few hours before that, or maybe like a day before. But with it within, you know, the time that the masters were ready. And so the night before Friday, and we're like, let's just put it out on Bandcamp ourselves. It'll just be a DIY tape. And the whole intention with this, again, is just to like have something for the show so people know songs. And we're like already chatting previously to doing this demo. It's like, let's just do something real quick and like we'll like already have more songs, you know, to go for like an actual like proper EP or demo where we can go into studio and stuff. So it's supposed to be like super quick and just like getting it up on the internet. And Friday morning, we had the Bandcamp ready to go, but we weren't going to announce it like from our personal ones until like, I don't know, like 11 or 12 PM, just so like people can hear it when they're on like launch or whatever. And Dewey, the artist who did the demo art, posted it in that, like before we did, just shared on the story, shared the artwork and like a link to the Bandcamp. And Michael, who runs Fortress, I guess they're friendly with Dewey, who then got in touch with Dewey, and then Dewey got in touch with Isaiah. And yeah, they just kind of hit us up and were like, yo, is anyone doing tapes for this? And then yeah, Isaiah told all of us and we're like, yeah, let's do it for sure. Like, we're all fans of Fortress as well. I mean, yeah, like you mentioned earlier, like Collateral Demo is like one of my favorite releases of last year. Mm-hmm. And I agree, like they've had like just like a killer streak of releases so far. And they're capturing like a vibe that I really like in hardcore that I think is like maybe it was missing before. You know, just like straightforward, like fast hardcore. And yeah, we're all just like kind of stoked for that to happen. And yeah, we were able to post it with the Fortress logo and stuff a few hours after that. And then Michael's doing the tapes. I think people already started getting them. But he put that out for pre-order on the same day and got it on streaming and stuff for us too. So yeah, it was like super organic response and very fortunate that, you know, we were able to have that opportunity.
100%. That's an awesome story, because sometimes like and no diss, like obviously, like, you know, sometimes bands will like shop their record around, which I'm kind of like, man, what if you end up at the wrong home? That's what I always yeah. like think about. But for this to kind of just come together like organically, like you guys not even like trying to shop it to anybody, that's like what I like. It's just somehow through the universe it found its way to Fortress and they were vibing with it and they wanted to, you know, put you guys on. So I think that's a really awesome story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we didn't want to like, we had the idea because Corruption has like a side thing called Crazed Civilization, which is like a newsletter, like a hardcore newsletter. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, it'd be cool to like put it out like as part of that. And have like a newsletter and tape. And then Ezra was starting also like a new zine that's going to be out soon. But we're like, oh, maybe we'll do like a zine tape thing, like have it as part of that. But ultimately we're just like, nah, like let's just like put it out ourselves. It's just demo. We'll just have it out. And then, I mean, I guess good thing we didn't like, you know, plan that way, because otherwise like we wouldn't have been on Fortress. So yeah, super lucky to be on that label. And they're like really representing like South Florida hardcore. So yeah, super stoked. I know they're like, I'm sure they've been like inspired by like IOU records from a few years ago. And I think they're kind of like carrying the torch now for that style of music, and especially in, you know, in their location. So I think it's really sick.
Yeah, no, it's awesome, because obviously, like, there's a ton of awesome labels in hardcore, but for them to be able to pop up and just like uncover these like talented bands that could easily end up on any of those other like bigger labels, I think it's awesome. So for them to have the passion to want to do something like that and to be able to craft this like very interesting label out of South Florida and, like I said, just have like just like nothing but hits, I think it's just so awesome and just like really fun to watch. So like whenever I see anything new from Forgers, I'm like, all right, I have to check this out. Like that's what it's just become. Like, you know, they're a label that I look at. It's just like, yeah, I gotta follow what they're doing over there because they know what they're doing and they're putting out some like awesome bands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're all very much inspired by like Mosher's Delight, and so like they kind of have a similar vibe, I feel, where like, you know, like every release is gonna be like, if you like that style of hardcore, you're gonna like it, like that release. So it's cool to be on something like that, and also like the artwork and stuff is like really, really good. I think Michael's like a designer himself, and like I think you can see that throughout their label's presentation, and visually, that's what I'm always kind of drawn to for a label.
Okay, and it's been about a month since the demo's been out. I noticed that, you know, you mentioned the Bandcamp. I noticed that the Bandcamp's still dormant. Are you guys planning to do anything with that, or are you just leaving it all up to Fortress?
We ended up putting it on Fortress. Like I said, like, we were going to just put it on our own Bandcamp that morning, and then we were like, oh, let's just put it on the Fortress Bandcamp. It makes more sense because all the other releases are there. So, yeah, that's probably just going to stay dormant, I would assume. Unless we do something else that's off of Fortress, but I don't foresee that. I would like to stay there for our next release.
Okay. And as far as the reception, how has it been? Because when I first saw it, it was getting reposted by like a ton of people on my feed, and like I didn't even know anybody in the band until I saw you post it. I was like, oh, cool. There's there's my tie to the band. Let me like see what's up. But I just saw like a ton of positive stuff like when it dropped, so I'm just always curious about it from like the band's perspective.
Yeah, it was such like a crazy like couple of hours. Like we kept getting like a bunch of like stuff on our like notifications on our phone of like comments and messages. So yeah, I was stoked that I've never gotten like this much of a response being a part of a band like so immediately. So for me personally, I think it was really cool. And then it was like the Friday before FYA, or I guess it was like the pre-show was happening that day before the Saturday date. And so maybe that like kind of helped too, because I know people are, you know, excited for FYA and be able to experience a bunch of great bands. And it's just like having a new demo out that day might have helped as well. So yeah, it all just kind of fell into place at the right time. But yeah, I obviously like it, we're just expecting just to put out like a super local like demo on Bandcamp that we recorded ourselves, and we're not expecting like so many people even outside of San Antonio to like check it out. So I think that's super cool. And yeah, I think we're all very much stoked on the reception of it so far. I really appreciate everyone's kind words. I also saw like the demo tapes like get to people as well, so that's sick too, that like, people actually bought the tape and, you know, have it.
And as far as the rest of the year, obviously like you guys started off the year with putting the demo out, but now looking forward to the rest of 2024, do you guys have big plans, or are you guys just kind of trying to keep it local for now?
I mean, we haven't gotten asked to like do anything. I think we're all like would be open to whatever opportunities may come. But I think right now, the goal would be to just play more shows, like especially here first, because we've done two so far. But there were kind of like split sets that we weren't even on the flyer for, so it was just like super like in the know shows that we did. And people actually like knew the words and like were like moshing and stuff, so that was like super cool. So I would like to like have a proper like, show here next, where maybe we do like a demo release show and have the cassettes available in person for the first time. I think that can be cool. And then I think it's good to have a band like this here in San Antonio too, just because a lot of the San Antonio hardcore, and it's kind of been like this way for since I got into it, but it's always like lean more to the heavy stuff, which is cool. I mean, everyone likes it here and stuff, but I think it's we wanted to like sound intentionally like different from all like, you know, all the other shows that would be happening. And so we hope to bring something a little bit different to the shows. And that's just the goal right now. It's just play more, maybe play outside of San Antonio too, like Houston, Austin stuff would be sick. If like out of state stuff, you know, opportunities arise, I wouldn't be opposed to it, obviously. I think next, I really just want to like focus on like writing again, and getting a new EP. And now that we've like done this process before, I think we'll be a little bit more comfortable, and hopefully we can go to actual like producer and stuff where it can like, you know, sound like a proper EP. I know Ezra, the guitarist, is always writing. So I'm sure it'll happen within the next like few months.
All right. Well, whenever you guys decide to make it to California, please hit me up. We need It's the Limited program.
I know, that'd be so sick. It's funny because right now our set, I mean, the demo is like 5 minutes or less. So yeah. We're like, well, we need more songs to like at least have like, you know, 10 to 15 minutes. So what I've been doing so far for the last couple of shows, we did covers, obviously, to help fill that gap. So we covered so far Vitality by Beyond and The Deal by Sick of It All. Sick of It All one went over more, a little bit more well than the Beyond one. I know we all knew like the Beyond is like a little bit more weird and obscure, but we all love Beyond, so yeah.
I think that's awesome, because I'm sure there's someone out there who's gonna hear that cover and be like, hell yeah, this is this is sick. Because, you know, obviously there's like so many like common bands to cover, but to cover a band that you guys like fuck with that isn't really like super popular, I think those covers are awesome.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's like the intention of the band, is just like to do what we want and to have fun with it. And like I mentioned earlier, like or not even San Antonio, but like I think in general right now, like the heavier hardcore stuff is like more popular. So like, you know, obviously like Madball and Hatebreed and Marauder is gonna get covered like at almost every show. So to be able to have like a Sick of It All cover or a Beyond cover, like I'm sure later down the line we'll do like a Youth of Today cover or something. Like I think that's, for me personally, like that would be, I would be hyped to like hear that. So yeah, I hope like younger kids too can like hear that if they weren't already exposed to it, and maybe, you know, sort of connect the dots, like go listen to Youth of Today.
No, dude, that could happen, because I've told the story before, but my friends play in a band out of Denver, Colorado. They're not like a super active band. They just did they got back together after like a long time to do like a Christmas benefit show. But when they were active, I saw them like a bunch. So like I knew their songs in and out. And then I remember on this one tour, they were playing this one song that sounded so different from everything else, but I was vibing with it. And then I remember I was talking to the singer. I was like, hey, I was like, well, what's up with that one song that you guys played in the middle set that sounds like nothing else? He's like, oh, like that's a cover by a band called Floor Punch. Like you need to listen to them. And they covered Let It Ride. And because of my friends in Denver back then, like, you know, putting me on to Floor Punch through a cover that they did, because I'm sure, you know, they didn't know that I didn't listen to Floor Punch. I didn't even know who Floor Punch was at the time. But because of them, like, I listened to Floor Punch. I was finally able to see Floor Punch in 2009. So it was awesome. So hopefully if you guys do that, if you're, or even with the covers that you are doing, you know, maybe put some kids on notice and have them go check out, like, you know, those bands and see why you guys want to cover them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think that's super sick. Yeah, I also really appreciate when bands actually say the band that they're covering. because like I feel like a lot of the time just like this one's a cover and then they play it and they expect everyone to know it, but like some of the, you know, there might be just like young kid that doesn't even know it yet and like will have to go and like ask around and like doesn't want to seem uncool to do so, like they don't know yet. So I think Steven did that when we played. I think that's a cool thing to do, especially for like, you know, younger kids getting into hardcore.
Yeah, I was.
But yeah, that's the point of covers. Like, you know, here, listen to this.
Yeah, I was just having a conversation with some friends. They're starting a new band, and I guess they were like internally debating whether or not if it's too early to cover Backtrack. And I told them that I think it's fine to cover Backtrack these days because they've been broken up for a while now. Yeah. And I'm sure there's like tons of new kids in hardcore who probably don't even know who Backtrack is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, what was the last year? Like 2019, I think. So it's been like about 5 years now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And when you add on like, you know, COVID and, you know, the lockdowns and stuff and people just yeah, like,
it's like 10 years.
Yeah. So, I told them I thought it was okay. So they're like the people in the band that wanted to cover, they're like, thank you. Like for, you know, taking our side. Cause that's what we want. So hopefully they do it. Yeah. I think it'd be sick. Cause I like Backtrack. I was actually bummed when they decided to hang it up.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's funny how, like, I think especially like people in hardcore, like overthink so much of like, you think it's okay if we do this, or you think it's like go over well, things like that. Like we found ourselves doing that too. We're like trying to figure out what to cover. But yeah, it's like ultimately it's like you just do what you want and like people are gonna react, or even if you don't vibe with it, whatever, it doesn't matter. So yeah, just have fun, do it, you know, play what you want.
Yeah, I agree, because you can't please everybody. Not everybody's gonna like you, so just you know, have fun with your friends and enjoy your time here.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, I'm happy to hear all about It's the Limit. I'm definitely a fan, but I want to switch gears, but kind of keep this you know, connection to Florida going. Obviously, Sunday Drive Records. You know, been paying attention. Obviously, I still follow you on social media, and you've worked with some bands from Pensacola, which I think are awesome bands, like highly underrated. But can you talk about, you know, we can start with Cairo, like how you got in touch with those guys? Cause I think they're awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a Statement of Pride, last summer in San Antonio. There is a, I think the show was supposed to be like a, they're supposed to be supporting No Warning here in on their Texas dates, but No Warning had to, it fell through. They weren't able to make it. But Hold My Own and Statement of Pride still did the dates with like local support. And it was End It as well. Those were like the three touring acts. So yeah, that I met some of them there at that show. And they ended up just kind of sending an email, like shortly after, that were just interested in like Sunday Drive. And I checked out the Cairo stuff. And I thought it was sick. I think like right now, especially, like, I think there's some sort of, listener fatigue to like the shoegazy, like alt grungy stuff, because it's so like overdone, which I understand, but I think Cairo does it a little bit differently. I don't think it's just like shoegaze or grunge or whatever. I think there's like a lot of more different elements combined, specifically like more of an emo style within that, which I think is really interesting. I can hear like Sunny Day Real Estate, you know, and there, like maybe even like Mineral and like the guitars and stuff. So that combined with like the Smashing Pumpkins or Hum, all bands that I love, I think is kind of what Cairo is. And their songs are like super catchy as well, which is kind of hard to do in this style. So I think they're a bit more unique. And they all come from hardcore too. So they're, you know, Statement of Pride members. just doing something different. Whenever, and that's like another thing that I've kind of learned doing Sunday Drive, because now at looking at the roster, like it's basically all hardcore kids not playing hardcore, like doing something a little bit different. And I think just hardcore kids kind of have it figured out when they're approaching something, you know, else sonically, because they can kind of bring that knowledge or background into this new new type of perspective of music and kind of portray that a little bit better. I mean, that's, I kind of figured that out, not only with Sunday Drive, but like through my own listening as well. For example, with like pop punk bands, like the best ones, in my opinion, are like from hardcore kids, like Newfound Glory or Saves the Day or Lifetime. So yeah, it all just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I was trying not to be biased because I love Josh and Miles, just because I've known them. So I always want to support what they're doing. But listening to Cairo, I was like, man, am I only listening to this because they're my friends? But I'm like, no, there's no way that I would listen to it. And because you're right. You know, I had this like fatigue where like listening to shoegazy, like the little more mellow type stuff isn't as fun, because yeah. I like to, you know, sometimes have like a little bit more like upbeat, a little more energy to my music. So that kind of genre, I'm just like way more selective. But when I listened to the new Cairo, I was like, damn, these guys are so talented. This is like,
yeah,
refreshing. That's like what I kept thinking, you know, to that style of music. So I was just like so, you know, happy for them to, you know, to be working with you and for them to, you know, have a great release. So obviously, like last release with From Within, obviously, I love From Within. But it was cool to see them branch out and to be able to link up with you, because I thought it was a really great fit.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I think them putting stuff out on From Within is also cool too. Just to have that sort of connection with Pensacola. And then they also share members with Glazed Eyes, who's another Sunday Drive band, Pensacola as well. And there's like a whole other direction as well. So you have like the hardcore from like the alt grunge stuff, and then to like just straight up indie rock and like power pop. And yeah, they're all super talented musicians and people that have like a very great like perspective on music and how to sort of craft these other sounds outside of hardcore. And I think the music kind of speaks for itself.
Yes, and this is a perfect segue to Glazed Eyes, because when I listened to their last record, Holding Out on a Dream, I'm just like, wow, this sounds so professional. It's so good.
Yeah.
And I was just like, just so blown away, because like I was aware of the band because I know Robert Goodspeed. So I always knew of their existence, but I didn't really listen to them until this new record, because I just saw like so many of my friends, you know, posting about it. So I was like, all right, like let me check this out, because like I'm curious. And when I heard the promo, I was like, okay, this is crazy that I never listened to this band until now. But then when the record came out and listening to it, I was just like, this is so good. Like, why isn't this being talked about more?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think when I first heard the record, I was like, this is crazy. Like, I can't believe these kids like wrote this, or they're not kids, but like these people like wrote this record, that are from Pensacola. 'Cause it sounds like a radio, like ready album that you would hear. But yeah, it sounds like, just like Third Eye Blind, like Goo Goo Dolls, like, you know, just kind of like the very, I think like the late '90s, early 2000s is when like the college rock, and like indie rock was getting pretty more like mainstream. And that's kind of like the sound that it reminds me of. They do it like super well.
Yeah, and I was aware of that kind of music growing up, but I just didn't really like understand it. But now that like I'm an adult and I go back and visit stuff like that, I was like, oh, this is actually good music. But I was just I think a little too young to really realize what was going on.
No, same. I it's like the music I grew up with. I mean, you know, being a kid at that age, that's what it was on the radio and like what was on MTV.
Yeah.
Or I would like put on VH1 when I was getting ready for school, and like those are the music videos that were playing. So yeah, it's super cool to kind of like re-experience this music again as like a, you know, as an adult, and to be able to go back and listen to those records now and have more of a appreciation for them. Because I liked it at the time, I just didn't, you know, fully understand it as a kid. So I think the appreciation I have right now is really cool. I think there's like so much good like melodies on the Glazed Eyes record too, and like I think I have it in the description somewhere on like the bio of the record. It's like it makes you just like want to roll the windows down when you're like driving, and just like it reminds you of just like summertime and just like having the music. You know, just like it just sounds like fun road trip music that you can just hang out with your friends too.
Yeah, just like a really good vibe. I feel like that's the tone.
Yeah, yeah. Even though like the lyrics are like can be kind of sad too, which I always vibe with.
Yeah, yeah. It's always interesting to be able to make something, you know, sad sound so, you know, happy.
Yeah, I think that's super sick.
Yeah, and it's awesome too to be able to like, because like, you know, I'm sure you know, the people in Glazed Eyes listen to, you know, all that stuff from like the late 90s, early 2000s, but for them to be able to create something similar you know, in this day and age, so now that I feel like I understand music way better, so for me to be able to you know, experience that like old sound but with something new, you know, I think is awesome. So I appreciate bands like Glazed Eyes that are able to put out music that captures like that sound from like back in the day.
Yeah, and I think it's cool too, coming from like hardcore, like you see like those like just like bands that get the stamp of approval of like, this is like not hardcore but this is cool music. But those examples being like the Cranberries or like the Sundays or like, you know, Third Eye Blind, things like that, like, or like Teenage Fan Club stuff, or Ride, you know, stuff in the 90s that like you'll see hardcore kids like wearing shirts on stage for, and that's all very much that's all those bands kind of like exist similarly to like how Glazed Eyes, that's how I perceive Glazed Eyes being.
Okay, well, two awesome bands from Pensacola. I love Pensacola. Might have the best beaches in the world.
I haven't been out there. I need to get there.
Yes, I was skeptical when I was there because I thought they were just, you know, kind of rooting for the home team when they told me that they had the best beaches. But when I stepped foot on their beaches, they were clean. I can hear the sand crunching underneath my feet as I was walking. And the water was warm because I'm used to like freezing cold water at the beach, like out here in Orange County. So,
oh, yeah.
So to be able to be out there in Pensacola and have that warm beach water and clean sand, it was great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I definitely need to go. I need to check out the Handlebar, which Rob, I think he runs that venue.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of like seems to be like the main hub of like all the independent music happening. So it's super cool. Yeah, I you know, experience those beaches for myself.
100%. Okay, and can you talk about you know, some of the newer releases on Sunday Drive?
Yeah, I have like stuff that's not announced yet, so I'm trying to like figure out what I can talk about.
Okay,
let's see. There's so we put out the Ritual EP. Who are friends from Austin, Texas. One of the guys, Nate, actually recorded like a Glare single a while back. So I have a connection there, and as well as with AJ, who plays in Strange Joy, and Sheer Force, actually, the band I was talking about earlier. So we're all just kind of you know, friends being from San Antonio and Austin, and they put out an EP called Closing In, which is more so just like early 2000s like rock, like maybe even like mainstream rock that you would hear on the radio. They do it super well. It's kind of like post grunge style, and yeah, super super good, just straightforward like rock music. We also have this band out of, they used to be Houston, but now they're based in Seattle called Prim. They put out a single and they're going to have an LP out later this year. But they sound, that has members of Warn and Apex Predator. That's Kevin. He plays guitar and sings for that band. We actually had them out for the Sunday Drive and Corruption showcase that we did last summer. So they came down and toured to play it. So I met them in person there. All super nice people. And we just decided to work together shortly after that. But yeah, if you like Dinosaur Jr., Yola Tengo, you know, that kind of 90s alt rock, Sonic Youth, even, you'll probably like Prim. And then our newest stuff is going to be Hollow Suns from Tokyo. They have a record called Free Fall that'll be out next week, actually. We're putting that out with Ice Grills out in Japan. Another like super great, like alternative rock, even kind of like getting into like the post hardcore mix as well, with like Quicksand, I would say, mix with like Jimmy Eat World, even like, you can imagine that. They're very just like driving, straightforward, like alternative rock, from Tokyo. So it has like a really cool sound. And Will Yip actually like mastered that. And I think it sounds great. So yeah, those are all like, more of the new releases. The stuff that's not announced yet, will be announced soon, but in general, I can say if you like a band on Sunday Drive, they're probably going to have like a new LP out this year. It's a big LP year. The only one that's been like confirmed so far is the All Under Heaven one, like publicly. So, yeah, they have a new LP out, and, you'll hear more, a lot more like LPs, this year, which is like super exciting for me personally. Cause, obviously being a small independent label, we've only done EPs, primarily, but to be able to have like so much attention and have like these artists craft like a whole LP worth of music, is something that I want to work hard on and like, you know, have it promoted and marketed, properly. That way, you know, the most amount of people can hear it, from all the work that they've put into it.
100%. Yeah. Cause they're putting all that work into writing a full record. So to be able to have your full support and want to promote it properly, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm also curious, you know, going back to Hollow Suns, how does international act like that, you know, from Japan, link up with Sunday Drive?
Yeah. So that actually happened from a release that we did with this band Only, which features Kai from Have Heart, who plays guitar in Have Heart. Mm-hmm. He played bass in this band called Only, which had, I think, some members of Guns Up in it as well. If you haven't listened to Only, go listen to the record Talk. It's a 7-inch that we put out a few years ago. And it's a super catchy, like indie, like alt rock. But anyway, from our relationship with them, he knew, Shui, who plays, guitar and sings and Hollow Suns. And he just kind of hit me up and kind of introduced each other and was checking if I would be interested. And when I heard the songs, I was like, yeah, this sounds tight. We did a previous EP for them in like 2019, I think. It was called Into the Water. And Shane from Tidal Fight like actually designed like the artwork for it and stuff. So that was like another cool thing that we had on that release. We did like the logo and things like for the record. I think it came out really cool. Yeah, now I think after that EP, they ended up putting out an LP just on Ice Grills, which made sense, you know, obviously, because they're more local based. And then for this new EP, they came back around and were like, let's just do like a joint release with Ice Grills, and Sunday Drive can take care of the United States distribution of it. So, yeah, it was very, I think it just makes sense. And I think it's a great record.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's awesome that you're able to, you know, form that relationship and keep it going after so many years. Because, you know, sometimes people just move on, which is totally fine. But for them to still want to work with Sunday Drive, I think that's really sick.
Yeah. No, I feel the same. And Shuey's like always been supportive of the label, you know, even post the first EP that they put out. He's been checking out like all the other stuff. I think they're actually hopefully can tour in the States. So I think they're trying to plan some stuff with some other Sunday Drive bands to do a little run later this year. So I think it'll be really cool for them. I don't think they've been in the United States just yet, but they've been supporting like a lot of the bands from here that are touring in Japan. They have some shows with Super Heaven coming up.
Yeah, let's tell them about that. They're on that Koyo show too.
Yeah, yeah. The Koyo one just finished up, and I think they have some West Citizen that's announced as well. So, yeah.
That's super awesome. Cool. Yeah, well, a lot of great bands, you know, all like I feel like, you know, more recently, all the bands going to Japan from the States, you know, all awesome bands.
Yeah, yeah. I want to get out there so bad. Like that's like on the top of my like travel list. We were talking about like potentially doing even like a Sunday Drive thing out there that they can help set up since we have like, you know, these relationships now. So even that can be super sick. But even if it's not for Sunday Drive, I just want to go like and like experience, you know, Tokyo, for example, myself and go to the countryside and just walk around. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm going to Korea later this year. And I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, I'm hoping the stars align. Somebody from the States will be out there.
Yeah.
So I can catch a show because I would love to go to a hardcore show in South Korea. I'm also trying to go to a K-pop show while I'm out there too. Try to figure it out.
Yeah. There, everything I see, cause like you mentioned, like so many bands are heading out there. It's everything I see is like some of the best shows, like the bands I've played. And I think that's so awesome.
Yeah. I think it might be just because, you know, it's more rare for bands from the States to travel out there. So when it happens, like, you know, the kids are like, all right, we got to make this one count. Like, we're going to show up and, you know, have as much fun as we can. So, yeah, like anytime I see videos from out there, it always looks so sick.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's super cool. They have like a very supportive scene and that people just like go out to the shows and like pack it out like on a Monday night or whatever it might be. So I'm glad, you know, United States fans are doing well there. And I hope that, you know, we can return the favor. I hope to see more like Japan bands come to United States and tour more as well. I know you always hear like U.S. people don't care about like, you know, other international bands.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you off, but these days Cruelty, because Cruelty just came through.
Yeah.
So then like, I feel like they've been to the States like pretty frequently. So like shout out to Cruelty.
Yeah, and like I know a lot of kids like Echo Chamber now too, which is a great hardcore band. So I hope that, you know, more U.S. people begin to discover more international bands from like not even just Europe, but even like Asia, because like, you know, so many bands are touring with bands out there as local support. And if they can make it to the States, obviously, I think that we can really, you know, show out for them. Hopefully have some good shows in the U.S. too.
Yeah. In December, I traveled to Bogota. I've been giving all this free promo to Bogota because I had such a great time. But when I was down there, I was blown away by the crowd, right? Because I could pick out everyone from the States. There weren't like that many of us. Like we were outnumbered versus like all the locals. But just getting to see bands like my friends in Spit Out, bands like you know, Real House of Hate, and even getting to see like Raw Brigade in their hometown, it was such a cool experience. And also just like, you know, like for that being my first time getting to experience international hardcore, it was like, wow, this is so special and so awesome to see that I'm down here in Bogota and there's awesome bands that I'm just discovering that are, you know, putting on for hardcore. And you know, they know what's going on. So it was just so cool. And it just made me want to travel more and get to experience hardcore in other places outside of America.
Yeah, no, that's super cool. I think it's even kind of beautiful even to have like this music, even though there's like language barriers and such, like that's kind of like the universal language that people kind of, you know, can vibe all together with. And yeah, I think that's super sick.
100%. When I was there, I was watching Spit Out, they were setting up and they were like sound checking playing Title Fight. I was like, they know about Title Fight. And they're just like, yeah, like we love Title Fight. And then they opened up like with a Drain cover, because I was like standing on stage and I was like thinking, I was like, wow, these guys are really good. And then at the same time, I'm trying to process it. I'm like, why does this sound so familiar? And then my buddy Jeff, he was like, that's Drain. And I'm like, oh shit, you're right. That is Drain. I was like, it makes so much sense. But it was just so that's cool. Awesome. Yeah. To see like, you know, some of my favorite bands have influence in another country, and for them to being like doing those covers, it was so sick.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, I hope to. Yeah, like exactly like you said, just to travel more and experience, you know, music outside of just the United States. I think a lot of us Americans just kind of get so caught up like domestically, like culturally, with like art even. So I think it's really cool when people start to experience and learn more outside of, you know, just domestic art. I've recently kind of been doing that with a lot of movies. So I've been getting into like more French films and learning more about like French New Wave and stuff, and see, it's kind of cool to be able to connect the dots of like, oh, these directors here were just like ripping off like, you know, these movies from here. And yeah, it's just super fun to do as like an admirer of art. So yeah, I mean, if you haven't, you know, if you're listening, if you haven't checked out like a Tokyo Band or something, definitely do that. And I'm sure you'll find stuff that you really enjoy.
100%. It, you know, life is like so awesome. There's like so much out there to discover. And even, you know, I'm 35 and like, I'm still just like, shit, I feel like I'm running out of time. I gotta do all this shit before, you know, before it's too late. So I hope, you know, everyone out there, you know, enjoys hardcore first, right? Hardcore here is amazing, but outside of America, hardcore is amazing. Like obviously even with our neighbors in Canada, there's great bands like, yeah, you know, Mil-Spec, Wildside, yeah, Prowl, but then there's a band, pretty sure they're from Sweden, Speedway.
They're really, really sick.
Yeah. Amazing band, which I wish they would come to the States. And then even, you know, my friends over in Scotland, you know, shout out Northern Unrest. They just announced their fest for the year.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is sick. There's hardcore, amazing hardcore everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the Northern Unrest Fest looks really sick.
Yeah, I want to see Split Knuckle. That new record that they just put out on Days is insane.
Oh yeah, I haven't checked that one out yet. I need to though.
Yeah, super sick. And then even like for them to, you know, get like, you know, bands like Division of Mind to travel out there, you know, because I'm even just like talking to people who went to the fest last year and just hearing like the positive like reviews from them. It's like, damn, that's so awesome that they're able to do such a good job. And, you know, yeah, a part of the world that's so far from here, but for them to be able to pull it off and, you know, have it get so much praise, I think it's just so sick to see.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I just was reminded earlier, because we were talking about Florida and Pensacola, the Arrival Note will have an LP out this year as well.
Shout out the Arrival Note. Great band. Shout out Josh. We got to reschedule that podcast. he knows what I'm talking about. Sorry, Josh. But great band. I love everything that Josh is in. He's talented, and he's always tied to great music.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm super excited for that, for them to be recording like a whole LP. Obviously, if you followed the band for a little bit, you kind of hear this progression of like them doing just like emo music, but I think even like on their newest release that they did that split with Painful Choice and Sugarcoat, you can kind of hear them like evolving even further. And I think they're like really have like are going into like the sound that the Arrival Note, you know, has wanted to have. So I'm super excited for them to have an LP when they played in San Antonio. So I got to actually see them for the first time last summer. They played a few songs off of the LP, and it sounds like so sick. So very much looking forward to that.
Okay. And you briefly mentioned earlier, you did that showcase with Corruption Records. And then I actually got to meet you in, Fullerton back with, yeah. With the NMZ Sunday yeah. Drive showcase. Can you talk about, what those were like for you? Because I thought it was cool to be able to, you guys brought so many cool bands to Orange County that I never thought would come here.
Yeah. No, that was such like a cool experience. I like think about that show like very often because it was such like a special moment and a special time, I think, in like the label's existence. Cause I felt like Sunday Drive is like even in a different space than it was like at that time. As far as like the amount of eyes on the label, which is like weird for me to like, talk about or like perceive. Cause like, it's just like, to me, it's just like a passion project that I'm just doing to help friends. And it's very like DIY. But obviously like I am aware of like the amount of attention that the records are getting. But yeah, I think that was like at a point where like we didn't have a whole bunch of attention, but we had like a decent amount to make that show happen. Everyone traveling over there and packing out a program was so like special to us. And whenever I see the bands who played that, we always kind of reminisce about that because we all ended up having like dinner and stuff after, like got some good meals around there. Nick and I were like in the same hotel, so we were like, I remember like rolling shirts and stuff with him, like organizing merch and things like that. We had so much coffee, got records and stuff, so it was like we really enjoyed our time down in Orange County. And now every time like I go to LA, I'm like, man, we need to go down to like Orange County, because like it's like it's such a different vibe. I like just kind of like being around Orange County and just kind of walking around, like going to a coffee shop and just hanging out. And then the beach is not very far, so you can just go to the beach if you want. I like all the neighborhoods, and there's like a lot of good like local spots there too. Yeah, obviously LA is super cool as well. It's just like more, there's like so much happening.
Yeah.
When you go to Orange County, it's a little bit more quiet. Like you can kind of just be and enjoy.
Yeah, it's not as hectic. We're far enough away to escape the craziness, but close enough to where we could do it. And like, we could go for a quick trip and come back, and it won't be that big of a deal.
Yeah. And obviously like Orange County hardcore is like super cool. And has its own history, and program being like the hub for that is super, super cool. I saw it at Outspoken's playing like a reunion show at program, which is insane.
Yeah.
I wish I was there, but yeah, that's going to be so sick. I think there's just so much like lore and like legacy at program already, that it's just like a spot that every band like wants to play. So I'm super grateful that we got to do that. And I'm super grateful for Madison. Shout out to Madison, because he actually booked that and put that together for us when he didn't have to. I think it was like a week after Sound and Fury, him like putting that together with the Braindead guys. So we've always been grateful for him to, put that together for us. And then the Corruption show, we had like a, so it, we did a pre-show with Corruption prior to the Sunday Drive showcase that happened last year. And the Sunday Drive showcase, we had it at this venue called the Paper Tiger, which if you're an old head, it's the White Rabbit.
I remember the White Rabbit.
Yeah. I was gonna say, most of the bands that, if they played San Antonio, they probably played White Rabbit. And that's where I grew up going to hardcore shows. Anyway, we played in a small room, which is literally like my first hardcore show was there. It was called the Jam Stage back then. That's where I saw like Afflictive and like That's Guy's End and like Sin Eater and like, I don't know, shout out like all these old San Antonio hardcore bands. But yeah, it was cool to like be there and like we ended up selling it out like a month after we announced it, and I was not expecting that. And it was like it was so cool to like experience that now, you know, being back in San Antonio. I moved back like a few years ago now, but we hadn't had like a proper showcase here in years. I think the last one we did was like 2017 in San Antonio. So to have it and to have it sell out, you know, was like very special. And not just for that reason, but just to like have so many kids and like a lot of like young people be there and experience this new music, be very supportive of it, was super exciting for a lot of the touring bands to experience. So yeah, that the showcase is really cool. The pre-show was also super cool. We did it at a skate shop. I haven't come off the program show. I was like, we need something like that here, and I know it can be possible. And so we got in touch with a friend of a friend. So there's this coffee shop that I go to called Mila, and this one of the guys I always see there, I know he skates. And we ended up chatting. I ended up just like reaching out to him. I was like, hey, do you own the skate shop? It's called Siempre. And we ended up like putting, he was super cool with like helping us put that together. And we put a show on in that skate shop, and it's like probably even smaller than program. And it was in the summer in Texas. So wow. The weather was like insane. It was like so hot, and like kids like packed it out in there, and it was so fun, but so hot. But it was all like DIY, like, you know, it was super sick. It just felt like a special like hardcore show for San Antonio. And we made that day intentionally like be a little bit more hardcore because we're doing the Corruption. My intention for that was to kind of highlight Corruption, but also help to highlight like local San Antonio hardcore. So we had like Inner Self on and Sheer Force, for example. But then we also had some touring bands like Strange Joy, Hop On, and Ritual, who I mentioned earlier, and Prim and Anxious Arms. But yeah, it was like a really cool lineup. It was like hardcore, but also just a little bit more like alternative, like fast, like faster alternative rock stuff. So it was like a really cool vibe. And I think a lot of people in San Antonio like had a good experience at that show, just because it's so different than what we're used to here, and going to shows. Like you know, obviously Orange County has a special program shop, but you know, nowhere else is really like that, I would say, where you can put on a hardcore show in the skate shop. So I think I'm super proud that we're able to pull that off in San Antonio.
100%. And is that something that you're going to continue to do annually, or do you even have plans to do something like that this year?
It was something I kept like going back and forth about, because going back to like thinking so much like of how to do things and overthinking things, I was like, I don't know if it's be good to do it every year and have like a similar lineup, because then kids are going to be as like interested in it, going to be like, oh, it's the same as last year. So I think what we're going to end up doing is it won't be like branded as much of like a straightforward Sunday Drive showcase, but I think I'm more interested in doing something with Corruption and have kind of like them as like the more focus point. And showcase more like local San Antonio hardcore, but also like just like Texas hardcore. And I think hopefully we can like pull in some touring bands as well that aren't on any of our labels, but you know, for example, bringing out some Florida bands to play, because that's just something that doesn't happen too often here in San Antonio. So I'd rather, you know, bring in some outside bands to here, with the, of course, like having some Sunday Drive bands and some Corruption bands play, but more so like, you know, highlight like a good variety of artists that we really, really like and want to showcase here in San Antonio.
And have you ever thought about doing like, you know, Sunday Drive Records, like tour, grab a couple of the bands, pair them up and be like, all right, go across the country.
Yeah, I've dreamt of it, especially early on. Because there's the drive through invasion tour that happened in like the early 2000s. That was like the starting line, like the movie life in the early November and like Newfound Glory and stuff. I thought that was so cool. And I really wanted to do that. Obviously, it's like a bunch of logistics to make that happen. And I probably, if I was able to make it happen at that time, I would have totally done it as like a 19, 20 year old. Now being 27 and having like a full-time job, it's probably not as, you know, a thing that I can do anymore, like and be a part of. But if we can get like a good tour package of Sunday Drive bands and you know, them do that run, I think that'd be super cool. I'd be into it. But yeah, I think that's a cool idea. We tried to do it in Texas, a few years back. It was cool, but it didn't go like super well. We did like Austin, Houston, and San Antonio on like a weekender thing. But yeah, I would like to, though, you know, go outside of just Texas and do more of like an East Coast thing or West Coast thing, whatever that may be, and have a little package out of it.
Okay. And next year, 2025, that's going to mark 10 years of Sunday Drive, which I'm tripping out because 2015 doesn't even sound that long ago, but it's going to be 10 years next year. Do you think about like milestones like that? Because I think that's pretty big, right? 10 years, that's a whole decade you know, having something that, like a label.
Yeah. I do for 10 years. For like the other years, not, it didn't seem as big of a thing. Like 5 years is kind of cool, but like it's not 10, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, the 10 year mark is very special to me. And I want to do something really cool. I had this idea of doing some sort of like archival like book, where I want to kind of show, you know, merchandise and like flyers and old zines and newsletters and stuff, kind of just compile everything together. Like, this is what we've done the past decade, and show where we're at now. So I had that idea. Hopefully that can happen. And then the other idea is obviously doing some sort of special event, that being, you know, a more, maybe a bigger showcase happening with like bands spanning all of the years of Sunday Drive's existence playing. And, you know, I don't know what that might be. I don't know if it'll be in Texas or if it'll be, I have an idea of doing something in New York, maybe doing like an East Coast thing, because we haven't been out there. Mm-hmm. Maybe we do East Coast and West Coast, you know, these are things that I think about and go back and forth on, but I think any of those ideas can be really cool. And yeah, but to sum up the answer, like, yes, I want to do a special like event, and I hope to have some sort of a physical existence of like 10 years of SDR.
Damn, that's crazy. Yeah, that'll be awesome. Obviously we're about a year away, but I feel like time's just gonna fly, because
I know I need to start planning already.
Yeah, because you know, January came and went. I can't believe we're sitting here in February already.
I know, it's so crazy. I started the label, I think about it more so now than ever, because it's gonna be 10 years, but it's crazy to think I started the label when I was 18 or 19, as a college kid, and I was such like in a different, you know, place than I am now, being like a full grown adult at 27. You know, I'm still growing, obviously, as like as a human being, but like I think as a mature adult, I tend to appreciate it a lot more and kind of put more thought into what we're doing than as a 19-year-old kid who's trying to figure stuff out while going to college and working a part-time job.
Yeah, well, I think it's awesome that you're able to, you know, still have that passion after so many years, because I'm sure there's been ups and downs, and you know, people will easily get turned off, and not want to stick around when times get tough, but for you to you know, have been doing it for so long and consistently, I think it's awesome, and I'm happy that you're still here doing it with the label, and I'm definitely looking forward to next year, and looking forward to celebrating 10 years of Sunday Drive, because that's like an awesome milestone to achieve.
No, thanks. Yeah, I definitely appreciate it, and it's such like a, again, like at a different place than it was at the time. So I'm still trying to figure things out, similarly to how I was then, where I'm like, man, I don't know if I can do this, all by myself anymore. Like, do I need, extra help even? I get into that point. So it's very interesting, very like weird, to experience in real time. But yeah, I'm just very proud of it, and grateful for the opportunity to work with so many talented individuals and human beings, and make all these relationships and friendships throughout the years.
All right, well, Jonathan, I appreciate your time today. Thank you for coming on and talking about it. It's the Limit. It was such an awesome time to get to hear about the band, and I'm happy that you're doing well. But before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to say?
Firstly, thank you for having me, and I appreciate everyone's time and for listening, if you are, and check out Corruption Records in San Antonio. Shout out to all the Texas like hardcore bands that are happening right now, like Inner Self, Sheer Force, Strange Joy, Spit My Rage. There's a lot of Ozone. There's like so many good Texas hardcore bands kind of popping right now. So I want the attention to be on them, and I hope to see, I hope us Texas bands can make our way out up here and do little runs and make our way back to program even. So, yeah.
All right. You're welcome. If any of the Texas bands want to play program, hit me up, hit up Kenny, singer of Major Pain, hit up Chris at program. Sure we'd love to have you guys. So, Looking forward to that in the future. But I truly appreciate your time. Thank you again. Hey, let's do it again next year when you figure out what's going on for the 10-year celebration. We can break it down.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, thank you again. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back soon. Goodbye.